Hello everyone, and welcome to minute 25 of season 12 of Movie Minute the Daily Podcast, where we dig our way through the 1994 film The Shawshank Redemption, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again in order to finish off the week is Derek McDuff of the A Minideus podcast and the Underrated podcast. Welcome back once again, Derek.
Yeah, capping off the week here in style.
That's right. Gotta be a little careful. You never know what's gonna happen in the showers.
That's very true. That's very true. They are clearly setting something up here. As we mentioned earlier, that there is the first antagonist is very much presenting himself in more ways than one.
That is true. Minute 25 begins with Boggs making himself clear and ends with Andy introducing himself to Red. So we left things off yesterday with Boggs basically starting to ask Andy questions. Andy's really not sure what's going on, and there's also a guy on the other side of Andy that keeps smiling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Boggs goes, he started saying, anybody, and then he goes, get to you yet. And Andy just looks at him as if he's just this crazy guy. And Boggs goes, hey, we all need friends in here. I could be a friend to you. And Andy is not happy about this at all and decides that, he just turns around and he's like, all right, I'm done showering.
Yeah, he's like, this is enough for me.
That's right. Everyone out.
I'm good.
Everyone out of the pool. And Andy just moves away.
Yes, that is the best decision I think in that possible moment.
Yeah.
Right there.
And Boggs tries to stop him, and basically Andy just pushes him out of the way. And we can see that Boggs is looking at this other guy who's there, and the two of them start smirking, and Boggs puts his head under the water, and starts using the soap, and goes, hard to get. I like that.
Yeah, it is absolutely. That line delivery is chilling. Like, it is so sinister. It is, that whole scene is an example of, no one explicitly says what Boggs' intentions are for Andy, but we know. And when he says the hard to get line, and he's just kind of like looking up, the water is just running, and you're like, this is not going to go well for our guy. This is some bad news. He is basically made him, he's like, he's kind of says, essentially, this can, without saying it, this can go the easy way, the hard way. And when, Andy, quote unquote, chooses the hard way, Boggs almost is more excited about that. It's just very sinister and very disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's meant to be, because, again,
yes,
as the line will come in a few weeks, prison life is no fairy tale.
Absolutely.
You can't really expect everything to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it puts a real sense of dread on the scene before kind of moving on to the rest of Andy's life.
Right. That's true. Now, I remember reading a little bit of a trivia tidbit about this scene, that apparently the water was freezing.
Oh.
And they had to do this. So the fact that Mark Ralston was willing to, even get closer and put his head under the water, to immerse himself in this role, is just great.
Yeah, yeah. As we said before, he's one of these like unsung great character actors. These guys who've been in a million things and you might know their face, but who's always just doing really great work. And there's so many great character actors like that. And we always also talk about William Sattler, that are just in here doing the work.
That's right. And so the other guy who we see here, we're going to find out later that his name is Rooster. All right. Mm-hmm. And he's played by an actor named Gary Lee Davis. Okay. He's had a lot of parts over the years, mostly small little roles. IMDb is 48. He's also a stuntman doing stuff. But I started reading a little bit about him, and I was very intrigued. He's apparently the fourth great grandson of Daniel Boone.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, and he was born in a log cabin in 1946.
Oh.
So,
How about that?
yeah, and so it's interesting. He was a woodsman as a kid. He loved to hunt and fish.
Okay.
And because they lived out in, out in the rural areas of Missouri at the time. And then this family, when he was seven, so his family moved to the city, and he started watching movies. And like the rest of us, he was wrangled in.
Yeah. It's interesting because he's born in the time period roughly this is set, and it's as we've kind of talked about before, a very changing time, for the world, but also for movies. And it's interesting to see, he starts out living in a log cabin, and by the 90s, he's in a huge, a huge Stephen King adaptation.
That's true. So yeah, I just think it's really cool that he's the fourth great grandson of Daniel Boone.
Yeah, a connection to another time.
Yeah, completely. So then the scene changes, and we no longer see the them. We're no longer in the shower, and we see Andy working in the laundry. Which is something you see quite often in prison movies that. That they're always in the laundry doing stuff in the laundry.
Yeah. It's a very good shorthand for prison job.
That's right. Now, whose laundry do you think they're doing?
I think they're doing their own laundry, like they're doing the inmates' laundry in that scene, because it doesn't seem like, Bob Gunton, the warden, is gonna get his suits pressed in there or anything.
The truth is, I actually would disagree with that because he probably would get his suits pressed in there. Because he does want his shoe shined and he wants all these different things later on. He is taking advantage of the opportunities that he has in the in the prison itself. I think there's no question about that.
See, I could see him doing that, but not in like that. I could see him having like someone personally do that for him, right? Not in like the big laundry room they're in right there with like they're got a crate with
Okay.
like 18
All right.
shirts
Now I
books in
understand what
it,
you're saying now. Okay, that definitely makes sense. So I actually looked it up to see, whose laundry is being done usually in prisons. And the answer is pretty simple. You are correct. It is mostly the inmates and the institution itself. And sometimes they also deal with stuff from the staff. So you have the uniforms and the bedding and linens, sheets, pillowcases, blankets, towels, things like that. The various jeans and shirts worn
Yeah,
by the
that
general
makes sense.
population, stuff like that. You also have undergarments, socks, and any type of personal clothing that people would that were allowed in this particular prison or anything like that. They also deal with a lot of heavy duty items that you need to have in a prison. For instance, all the medical linens and sheets and gowns, everything basically, all the clothes that are used in the infirmary. They also deal with stuff from the kitchen and the mess hall. So you have aprons, rags, towels, things like that. And they also would deal with
Yeah, makes sense.
janitorial supplies. You have cleaning cloths and mop heads and things like that.
Yeah, night, yeah.
Right. And then there are places where they do the laundry of the officers and the wardens. But most but a lot of places try to have some sort of boundary between the staff and the inmates. So they usually take care of that at home.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's basically what Andy's doing here.
Yeah, he's acclimating to even more of the prison life than we've seen
That's
already.
right. No, and we also see that apparently a little bit of time has passed, and he's already in his job. What they've given him to do.
Right. He's somebody who's very good with a task, it feels like.
And then the shot changes and we're outside. And we see Jigger catching a ball and then throwing it. And he throws it and Haywood runs by and catches it and then twists around and then throws the ball. And basically Red picks it up. And then he takes it and throws it back. And you can then see Andy strolling in the background, watching them play catch. But also looking at Red to try and figure out what's going on here.
Yes. I love that you said stroll because, like, as he says, Andy was a man who strolled.
That's right. But that's what he's even that it is what he's doing when you look at him.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really good physical acting from Robbins in that scene, I'd say.
And I mean, going back a little bit, when we're in the laundry room, so we started getting narration from Red. And we hear Red say, Andy kept pretty much to himself at first. I guess he had a lot in his mind, trying to adapt to life in the on the inside. And then when the scene changes and we're outside, he goes, it wasn't until a month went by that he opened his mouth to say more than two words to somebody. As it turned out, that somebody was me. So again, it's a great way that he's telling the story. But it also tells us the answer to what we were just talking about, that is he's basically been there a month. Which on the one hand you can say is something is time that's gonna go by real quickly, but my assumption is it doesn't go by quickly.
Yeah, no, it seems like it takes a while. And Andy is once again clearly figuring everything out. He's like, okay, how do these things work? How can I make life here for myself as comfortable as possible, while also trying to figure out the way these things work and how he might be able to take advantage of these systems? Who do I use? Who do I talk to? And as we see, the reason he chooses Red is because, we find out that Red is someone who can help him out get things. He's figured this at this point, it's been a month, he's figured out what is going on with Red, who to talk to. And it's also the beginning of, to quote Casablanca, a beautiful friendship, because I think it of all there's so many great bromances in movies. This is one of the all-time best, is the two of them. And now we are finally seeing these characters who've kind of existed near each other. One, like you're seeing it from Tim Robbins' perspective. You're seeing Morgan Freeman narrate it, and now they're finally coming together. This is what we've been waiting for.
Yeah, this is it makes a lot of sense because that's what this is all about their friendship. So you need to have a way for them to meet like this. And then we hear over the loudspeaker, Officers Russell and Burwell report to the duty officer. And Andy just continues lurking in the background, watching as they're playing the game. And Red notices him. Red catches he's playing catch, but he still notices Andy showing up here.
Yeah, and I think their physical like appearance and the way they hold themselves is very evident of the way the characters are in life. I talked about in another episode how Andy has his collar buttoned up. He still has his shirt tucked in, looks very nice. Red, on the other hand, he's got a kind of hat to the side, his shirt's unbuttoned. He's kind of just He's more loose, he's playing ball, whereas Andy, he's strolling, he's going with a purpose, and it shows you that, like, Red is kind of, he's accepted. This is where he's at, he's gonna, fit in, where Andy is still thinking about himself in the outside world, whereas Red has become institutionalized, and just their body language, just their costume design is all adding to that idea.
And then Andy introduces himself and goes, I'm Andy Dufresne. And Red, without a he doesn't even pause, says, the wife, and then he gets cut off. So it's going to be interesting to have to wait until Monday to find out what wife he's talking about, but yeah, it's a great way to show the introduction between these two characters.
Yeah, I'm really glad I got to see their introduction, their first words together, because this movie, that's the heart of it, is these two men and their friendship that they build over decades. And I would be, if I hadn't had the opportunity to talk about that, it would feel like, a little bit, I didn't cover all the bases. And so I'm glad I get to talk about it here, and I'm glad that it's their first interaction. Even if it lasts just a second, it gives us a glimpse into what the rest of this movie is going to be.
That's true. And if I remember correctly, you got this randomly. You didn't even choose what you wanted. So there you
I
go.
did, yeah. Yeah, so it
Yeah,
really worked out.
it definitely did. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I've discussed numerous times with my guests is, who do you think is the main character here? Is it Red or is it Andy?
I think it's definitely Andy. It's almost like the Great Gatsby thing of, it's called the Great Gatsby, right? Gatsby is the main character, but you're still Nick is the narrator, but it's Gatsby's the one motivating the plot, moving the plot forward. And I think that even though our insight into the protagonist is through Red, it's still Andy's story. We're still hearing everything. Like we get a little bit of Red's backstory, but it is really Andy's journey. He is the one who is making the changes, who is motivating things, who actively Red changes because he's being like Andy's had this effect on him. Andy makes the plans, he does all these things. He is the one driving everything forward, and he is the focus of the whole movie.
Interesting. Okay. I would disagree with that. I think that Red is the main character here, and he's telling the story.
Okay, interesting.
He's the one telling his story. So
All
yeah.
right, interesting.
All right. Again, there's no it's all a matter of opinion from that perspective. So that'd be
Yeah,
okay.
absolutely. Yeah. And that's why podcasts and movies are
That's right.
great. You can listen to it and get these
That
different
is true.
perspectives.
That is very true. All right, so today's segment is called Weekend Break, where my guests will talk about their top five movie prison breaks. So why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Yeah, I wanted to choose some that were a little less obvious. These are all movies that I love a lot, and I love a lot of the big ones, like The Great Escape and stuff like that. I'm sure they will have other guests put on the list, but these ones are a little more personal for me, and they're a little bit more, they're great prison break movies that you would not necessarily think of off the top of your head, but once you think about them, you're like, oh, this is really great. And the first one is The Grand Budapest Hotel. There is a really incredible sequence that happens about halfway through the movie where Ralph Fiennes and his cohorts are breaking out of a prison. It's done almost entirely wordlessly in the very Wes Anderson, his signature style, of these quick cuts of giving you lots of information very quickly with a really distinct and strong visual style. And the way he does that by handling this prison break, moving from room to room, and all these characters thinking all these different things, it's done masterfully. Number four, it's an adaptation of something that actually gets brought up in this movie, The Count of Monte Cristo. My favorite version of that is the 2002 version, of course, based on the book by, as we say in the movie, Alexandre Dumas, or Dumbass, as he puts it, hilariously. I think that's a great adaptation. Really great, fun action movie. It's one I covered on the podcast. Number three is, oh, according to some movies, one of Nick Cage's or Pedro Pascal and Nick Cage's favorite movies, Paddington 2. The fact that a Paddington movie has this lighthearted, great prison breakout is so much fun. Paddington, like Andy Dufresne, goes into a rather bad situation in prison and kind of warms everyone's hearts. And it's the prison break itself is handled in a very unique way, as is the prison break in War for the Planet of the Apes, which is a movie that you would not expect to necessarily be a prison break movie on first blush, but once you watch it, it absolutely is. A good part of the portion of that movie is about breaking the apes breaking out of this encampment that they've been put in by this Colonel character played by Woody Harrelson. It balances that line of fun prison breaky stuff with a serious tone. I really love the Apes remakes. That original or the trilogy is so phenomenal. I like the new one as well. But Matt Reeves handles that in a really great way. But my number one has to be Toy Story 3 when they are breaking out of Sunnyside. It takes all that has been great about all the prison break movies that preceded it and gives it a really unique, interesting new spin, which is something you want to see when you're watching a movie that relies on these tropes. You want to have something that is identifiable and recognizable, and so much of that movie is paying debts to The Great Escape and Papillion and all these other great prison break movies of the past, but it's also giving you its toys breaking out of a preschool, you know? So it's doing something very much unexpected, and it's doing it in a way that only a toy could do, right? There, Mr. Potato Head is using his parts to like look around. His eye gets put over here, and his other eye gets put over here, so he's able to see this. You know, the evil guard that's watching them is one of those awful monkeys with this with the symbols, you know, that crash. So just like the Toy Story does with so much stuff, where they're so unique and inventive with their storytelling, Toy Story 3 is one of my favorite films of all time, and the prison break that happens in that is absolutely phenomenal.
I really like it there also. That's a very unique list, no question about that.
Yeah, we gotta do something a little different, and I do genuinely love all of those movies so much.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Again, I'm disappointed that Grayscape isn't on there, but that's fine. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll have. It's a great movie. I love The Great Escape. These ones top it for me, and like I said, I'm sure you'll have plenty of other guests that will talk about The Great Escape.
Oh, I'm sure there will be too, but you know. Since that was my inaugural season, so you know that's it has a soft spot in my heart
Very fair,
for
very
obvious
fair.
reasons. All right, we will play the daily game of Name That Book Adaptation. So let's spin the wheel and see what you get. All right, this is a 1982 film whose original title was Who Goes There?
I know this one. I've heard this before. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm blanking on it though. You're gonna tell me a hint and I'm gonna be so mad at myself. I think I need a hint though.
All right, you need a hint. Directed by John Carpenter.
Oh, is it's well, okay, it can't be it
Yes,
is the thing,
it
right?
is
It
the
is the
thing.
thing. Yeah? Yeah. I knew this too. Oh my gosh.
All right, excellent. Nicely done. Right, now let's
Thank
move
you.
on to the second game, High Low. So let's spin the wheel and see what you get. Right, the 1975 film Nashville.
Okay. There's another big one for cinephiles. I know people love Robert Altman. I'll say for critics, this one has a 97, because I think it is one of those kind of like movies that is on a pedestal for a lot of people. I'll say for audiences, I'll say 8.3. And maybe I'm going way
All right,
over, but I think people love this
you're
movie.
going a little over. You're going a little
Okay.
lower because it's a 7.6 and a 91%.
Okay.
All right, let's move for your next one. The 2021 film Dune.
Okay, Dune, part one. I'm gonna say this is, I think people on IMDb really like this movie. So I'm gonna say 8.8. Critics, I'm gonna say 91.
All right, so it is an 8 on IMDb and it has an 83%. So yeah,
Oh, wow. Okay.
you went a little high on those.
Interesting.
All right, and
Okay.
let's
I mean, I'm probably more in line with that, honestly. I thought the internet loved it a lot more than I did.
okay,
It's a good
fair
movie.
enough.
A good first half of the film.
All right, the 1953 film Shane.
Shane, oh, I actually love Shane. Shane is one of my favorite westerns, my favorite traditional westerns, for sure. This is another one that's like from back in the day, so I think that it's gonna get that bump on Rotten Tomatoes. I'll say 93. for audiences, I don't think people look back at this as fondly as I do all the time, so I'm gonna say 7.7.
Wow, that was very close. 7.6.
Oh, okay.
7.6 and 97%.
Okay, all right. I'm glad critics know how what's up and that this is a great film.
All right. So, would you like to one final time this week tell everyone where they can find Derek McDuff?
Yes, so you can listen to my podcast, Underrated Movie Podcast, on any pod catcher of your choice and on YouTube. However you're listening to this, we will be there as well. You can also check out my Patreon, patreon.com/underratedmoviepodcast, for the aforementioned Amadeus Dais, where I'm going to be breaking down, or I am breaking down, Amadeus in 15-minute chunks over the course of 2026 as a bonus podcast over there. But of course, you can listen to Underrated for free anywhere. And then you can also check out my writing at Temple of Geek. And you can find links to all of that by going to my social media or Underrated's website. Just look up Underrated Movie Podcast on all the social media stuff or going to underratedmoviepodcast.com.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierob@movierob.net. So, Derek, thank you very much for joining me once again this season. I'm glad to have you back.
Yeah, it was a blast. I had a really good time.
I'm glad. I'm glad. And if I ever decide to do The Apartment, I know who to call.
All right, excellent. All right,
But
very good.
if I did a Mr.
Hope, looking
Roberts,
forward.
maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe not that one. We'll see, maybe.
That's okay. I don't, it's not, that's not even on my short list. So that's okay.
I would be surprised if it was.
No, it's a very good movie, but not one that I.
Yeah.
It's not high. It's not high on the list. Let's put it that way.
Right.
All right.
Fair, fair, fair.
So I'll be back on Monday with a new guest. So everyone have a great weekend. Until then, get busy living.
Oh, get busy dying.